हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Ocean, Fourth Wave, Chapter 43, then verse 3, 4, 5. Krishna, endowed with the above-mentioned qualities, but without manifesting powers, is famous as the Vibhava of the Vatsalya Rasa, by accepting himself as the object of compassion. Srila Prabhupada. Learned scholars have described the impetus for parental love for Krishna, existing elderly personalities who are in relation with him as follows. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily complexion is just like a bluish, new-grown lotus flower, whose body is very delicate and whose lotus eyes are surrounded by scattered hair as black as bees, was walking on the streets of Vrindavan when Mother Jashoda, the beloved wife of Nanda Maharaj, saw him. Immediately the milk began to flow from her breast, soaking her body. End quote. Some specific provocations for parental love for Krishna are listed as his blackish bodily hue, which is very attractive and pleasing to see, his all auspicious bodily features, his mildness, his sweet words, his simplicity, his shyness, his humility, his constant readiness to offer respect to the elderly, and his charity. All these qualities are considered ecstatic provocations for parental love. So it's interesting, another term, provocations, like that. You know, so the impetus is also provocations, what, you know, that starts the thing. Srila Jiva Goswami. Verse 5 elaborates on Krishna as the Alambana. Ashraya refers, Asya refers to Krishna, who appears in the form of a sun, who is to be known, Vedasya, without manifestation of power. Prabhavanas Padayata. Even if he sometimes shows such powers a little, the elders attribute the powers to something else, right? So even he does, like that time when he showed the universal form to Mother Jashoda, she thought it maybe it's an upset stomach, something she ate and all that, and that's creating some kind of, you know, spinning of her head or something. Even if, okay, because his mothers and others think that he is their son, who is completely tender, both internally and externally, he becomes the object of their desire to care for him. Anugrahatva. So that's the whole taste that they have, is taking care of him, like that. So that's why then showing powers or other prowesses don't really match in the rasa. Sometimes they may be shown, but then even if they are, he immediately has to bring it back to, you know, just the regular things. He just surrenders and it's the sun. Or, you know, doesn't show the powers. Because of this and only this, that is, becoming the object of their care and compassion, anugrahatva, Krishna, a sun without manifestation of power, is famous as the Vibhava. Vibhavavat in Vatsalya. The Salya Ras, Atra. He is famous as that form which generates a taste for the Rati called Vatsalya. Vibhavavat. In persons acting as parents. That Vibhava, accomplished by Krishna, manifesting himself as their son, Asya, by the appearance of compassion on the elders, as previously mentioned. Anugra. Yatvat becomes completely glorious in all ways. Kirtita. This Vibhava, however, generates taste for Vatsalya only by certain stimuli, Udipana, or qualities in the Vibhava. By qualities in the Vibhava, Krishna. Thus the word Gunasya Cha is used, referring to Krishna with the qualities mentioned in the previous verse. Vatsalya and Anugraha are differentiated as cause and effect. Vatsalya is affection, thinking that Krishna is one's son or the son of a brother, etc. Anugraha is the consequent desire to care for Krishna. Right? So cause and effect. You have that affection, and then you have, therefore, the cause that you want to take care of. So these two elements are being brought out, because otherwise we tend to not distinguish on these things. We look at something in a particular way, and, you know, because there's a conclusion, you put it all together, and so then that's how it functions. That's how it's tasted. But mechanically, actually, there's these two. There's always this cause and effect. And as we discussed before, this becomes a very important part of our sampradaya, this aspect of cause and effect. So this is the original point of cause and effect. Is that then those nice qualities in Krishna, then that is the cause for the effect of wanting to take care of Krishna. So that is the original position of cause and effect. Then you see is because he's like this, therefore his associates, his planet, his, you know, how he creates things and everything that he's surrounded by, his paraphernalia, they all will have qualities like him. So then that is the aspect to be brought out here. Yeah. Yeah. So it has more of an effect than just the regular.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So in the same logic, we can say that the rati is the cause and the rasa is the effect. Would it be right?
Yes, you could. Yes, because that's the whole point. Is that's why, remember, there was, this could be the answer to your question, whenever that was, I think 2 years ago or something, right? You were saying, what's the difference between rati and rasa? Because yes, we're used to just hearing, we just take them as synonyms. But the rati is that attraction to Krishna. But you could say the effect, they want to do something, right? So that's the vibhava. They want to act in that position as ashraya and do an activity. But then the effect of that is then the rasa, the taste. So you could say is the rasa would be the third aspect, the cause, the effect, and then the experience of that effect. Does that make sense? Because we see is that the anubhava isn't just the aspect. It's that the you have to take also the sattvika and vyavicharis along with it. So that all three together, that makes rasa. Right? So you have that original element that is there, you know, that cause, then that effect of performing an activity, and then the emotions and that arise from it. Is that? But in one sense, you kind of can say that, but mechanically, there's more. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. So yes, because there's more, because it's when those ingredients mix, then the experience is created. Now I understand.
Yes, 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 yes. So because we're used to I have knowledge and skills, you know, I've learned my knowledge, theoretical and practical. That's step one. Step two, I apply that knowledge and skills as an activity. And then three, I get a result. And getting the result will say I'm happy, right? Because when I get the things, I say I'm happy. You know, let's say, you know, you want a new pair of shoes. When you get the shoes, you say, I'm happy. But no, you just have shoes. Right? So we're not used to this concept of that. Beyond that is where the experience is, because there is the experience of getting them. But that's not that's why Ananda is beyond. That's why we're not used to it. We're just used to getting things. I get money. I get a place. I get a house. You know, you have family, you have this and that, I get position, whatever it is, I get it, then I'll say I'm happy. You know, so when I think, yes, I'm a happy man, you just think of all the things that you have and all the things like that, that's then taken as the happiness. But in actuality, the experience is beyond that. So we're not used to it. I mean, if you point it out, then people go, yeah, the experience. So If now, having gotten those shoes, if I put them on and it doesn't work out good, the experience is not good, then the shoes just go in the closet with all the other shoes. Right? And I don't work, but I have them. So if somebody does say, oh, yeah, then I can say, yeah, I got, you know, like that, if it's a prestige. And if it's not, you know, they have and they're so, oh, well, I got like that. Yeah, I have, but they're not that good. You know, I stuck them in the closet. You know, so this element of that combination, that's actually the point. So the rasa is the point why Krishna, to expand rasa, that taste, therefore then, you know, his energies expand. Is that, yeah?
Yes, thank you, Mark.
Okay. Three, four, six, from the 10th canto. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Shankhya Yoga, and the other Vaishnav literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. Right? So people know the glories of this through the Vedas, through the Shastra, and all that, and all so many things in studying, they may come to that conclusion, but Mother Yashoda just considered him her ordinary child. So it didn't have any basis in, she didn't require the Shastra to be aware of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. This verse describes how Yashoda's motherly affection could not be inhibited by hearing about Krishna's powers. The Vedas glorify him as the Lord of sacrifice. The Upanishads glorify him as Brahman. Shankhya philosophy calls him the Purusha. Yoga calls him the Paramatma. The Pancharatric scriptures call him Bhagavan. His powers are glorified by all of these. But Mother Yashoda thought of him as her son. This extraordinary son, who is glorified as the source of sacrifice by the Karmis, has been given to us by Narayan, our family deity. He has been satisfied with our worship and vows. Garga has said that their son was similar to Narayana. This deep statement, as well as killing demons like Putana, who could not otherwise be killed, should be a cause of their faith that he was Narayana. Quote, but actually he is my son, and not seeing me, his mother, he becomes disturbed. Being separated from him for a moment, I become disturbed. Our experience as mother and father are the proof that he is only our son, right? Because otherwise, if he was Narayan, we'd have that feeling of Narayan, but no, we just have the feeling of son. So therefore, that proves, even though he may do activities like Narayan, like they said, he's only like Narayan, he's just our son. Right? This is how she comprehended the matter in her mind, right? So this is the logic she uses. So here, just the way the mind picks and chooses based on the samskar or based on the experience, you know, in this case, rasa, then is perfect, because this is the natural way the mind is supposed to be used to choose. That's why it says the path of raga doesn't require the scriptures. She, you see her logic and how the mind works, she's just situated on the path of pure devotion to Krishna. Right, in Vatsalya Rasa. So she just follows that path. She doesn't require the scriptures to tell her this is the path. So a lot of times it's thought when it says, oh, it doesn't require the scriptures, means I don't have to follow those rules. So we're totally aware of the rules, and we're totally aware of how we would like to break these rules. And now we have an excuse. You know, and why? Because I'm so special and so fabulous, I must be advanced. Therefore, I can work on this platform. I don't need the rules. You know, so we see is that we're taking it from our own identity. And unfortunately, that identity is mundane. Otherwise, why are we saying that, you know, no, but this one can do and that one can do and everybody can do and, you know, all these things like that. You know, it's kind of like, well, why don't we make the cow the temple president? You know, it's like the cows are nice, good qualities, vote of goodness. You don't have to worry that they're going to do something in passion or ignorance, you know. So much better choice, you know, like that. Dependable, you know, always there. Plus, hey, gives milk, you know, I mean, it's great, you know, like that. And so like that, then we tend to project. But we see here the path of rag then means that they only see that taste in relationship to Krishna by that rati they have for Krishna, by that service they want to perform, right? That anugraha, that to care for Krishna, then that taste that is there, and that's all that's required. They don't need Shastra to say he's God for them to be, for it to be important. They just don't require. That's all. So that's the fun part, is that you don't require that in Raga. It's not that you're avoiding Shastra, because the point is that the path that Mother Jashoda follows, that's the path, that's what's documented in the scriptures. Right? The path of the pure devotees, how they traverse, that's what the scriptures then document, because we wouldn't know how to go. You know, it's just like, let's say, for example, it's a rough example, but it might work. Let's say in Calcutta, you know, different places in Calcutta, if you've ever done shopping in Calcutta. Now, it's Calcutta not by a map. You know Calcutta just by the places and the moods and the colors and the, you know, things and the activities that are going on there. And so you can find that shop that you always go to by all of that. It has nothing to do, like the street that it's on, you can't even pronounce the street, the name. Not only that, after some months, when there's a new government, they'll change the name of the street, because that's one of the few things that they, you know, feel very obliged to do as new government, is that they have to change all the names, right? And so therefore, no idea what the street is, what the area is, this, that, you just know how to get there by that experience. But let's say someone has no idea of Calcutta, then they have to look at the map and follow the map. But the map is only documenting what the person who has that feeling for Calcutta, how they follow, how they go down the streets and all that. Does that make sense? Yes, no, that was too esoteric of a example like that.
Maharaj, in other sense, we can say that, like, you know, the jnana and kriya naturally follow the icha, because this, yes, pure devotees, their icha is like, you know, what Krishna wills, it is in line with it. So the jnana and kriya, their activities, and then what they perform, yes, and then their knowledge is perfect.
Yes, yes, just naturally follows. So that's the whole point, is that if you're focused on the icha, then the jnana and kriya follow. But if you're not focused on the icha, you know, on Krishna's desire, you're on our own desire, so we have to follow jnana and kriya mechanically, how it states to do. That's called sadhana bhakti. And with time, then we start to develop a taste for it. And so it turns into rag, right? But it's still sadhana. We're still following the activities that are there. We still have to say that, because we have the idea, no, I'll just do anything, because our idea is whimsical. Oh, I don't need the rule. I do whatever I want, you know. Oh, yeah, he's so fun as a friend in the group because he's so whimsical. Yeah, but the point is he just does that one whimsical thing once, and after that, it's stupid to do it again, you know. So that's the whole thing, is you just don't do that. You know, how many times can you put the lampshade on your head and go at a party and go, hubba, hubba? You know, he's just like, you could only do it once, right? So that's the whole thing, is, but these things, Mother showed it, it's again and again and again, because it's following the path of rag. It's that natural attraction to Krishna, therefore the natural desire to serve. And then from that serving in exchange of Krishna, that natural taste that's there.
Maharaj,
yeah?
Also in this connection, Jiva Goswami explains in Preeti Sandarbha, in related with the drama. He says, like, no, for those whose rati is not like, no, at very high level, for them, then through the expressions of the drama and all the abhinaya, it helps them to taste the rasa. But for those whose rati is full and perfect, for them, even the word, just hearing the name of Krishna, will immediately give them the complete taste. They need not, they don't require any abhinaya, like the external forms to even perform. Just the remembrance of the name will give the, immediately they can experience the full taste of it.
Yeah, that's far out. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Very nice. Okay. Okay. So this is how she comprehended the matter in her mind. As the Karmi think of him as the Lord of Sacrifice through the Vedas, she thinks of Krishna as her son out of Vatsalya Prema. The Lord, being pleased with the Karmis, is their benefactor and gives them and others results according to their desires. But Krishna is unable to give proper results to Krishna according to her Vatsalya Prema. He becomes a debtor. He becomes favored. And he becomes controlled. He is the Lord, but is ruled by Yashoda. Though he is satisfied with his own bliss, he cries for the nectar of her breast milk. Footnote 1. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:35. Yeah, so we see it's beyond, because the karmis, they do something. They follow the laws of God. And because they follow it with the proper rules, the proper paraphernalia, the proper time, place, and circumstances, the proper attitude, then accordingly, they get the proper results. And so they've done their work, they get their result. But you see, as Mother Yashoda, then she is, seeing Krishna's inspired to do something to take care of him and that. And then she performs an action or, activity. So the results of that activity, Krishna cannot, what can he give them, right? So that's why then, he just gives himself, because he's the debtor to those devotees, because they give themselves, it's in another category. It's just in another level. So that's the whole specialty of this, this Braja Prema, or just, in general. But especially this Braja Prema that even others in Vaikuntha are impressed with, is just there is no way to do something. Krishna's God, and therefore because he's God, they serve him in majesty. It naturally goes together. And of course, there is that platform prema and that indebtedness, but it doesn't have the intensity and depth that you see in the residents of Vrindavan. So Lord Brahma, he's pointing this out. That what more is there? There is, you can't. So that's why Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, because there he's indebted to the Rajabhasis. So he's always there interacting with them. So we see in the Aprakat Leela, he never leaves. He's always there. In the Prakat, it appears he leaves, but at the same time he's there in his Bhava expansion, so that when they think of him, they're actually directly with him, but it will give the feeling of separation. Yeah. 347. Another example. Because I and my husband have worshipped Vishnu constantly, Putana and other demons have been destroyed. The two Arjuna trees were uprooted by the wind, and Vishnu protected him. Right? I saw with my own eyes that Govardhan was held up by my husband, along with Balaram's help, because of worshiping Vishnu. How would it be possible for my baby to perform all these difficult tasks? Right? So no matter how big he is or what he's doing, then he's just her baby. That's all. So even when he comes back after killing Dantavakra, right? See, still, she just sees him as my baby. She just picks him up, puts him on her lap, right? Here's the king of Dwarka, like that, full-grown king of Dwarka. But she just puts him on her lap. So that's the whole point, is how she thinks and all that, this is the perfection of what the mind is for. And then here, because we use this not in connection with Krishna, the mind is attracted to whatever desires of me I want to fulfill and my relations that fulfill my desires. That's why it's called illusion. But here, Mother Yashoda, just seeing things in connection with Krishna, then that's the perfection. Because the point is you can, you know, it's yoga maya, but tattva is not the main thing. Tattva we see is in support of, as Prabhu had mentioned before, as the jnana and kriya shaktis serve Krishna and the Lord of the Icha Shakti. So they serve his desire. So when the mind is doing like that, that is the perfection. Therefore, jnana and kriya just follow. So the knowledge and skills they have just follow that desire to just please Krishna. So that is rag. That's Braja Bhakti. Right? It's not some, you know, sit under a tree and read this book and other people are coming and close the book and all this and that because they are not quite, that's not it. Yes, please.
When we read those pastimes, like this morning I read the pastime of killing Putana, both with Srila Prabhupada's purport and with the Vaishnava Toshani of Sanatana Goswami. And, yes. You know, there is a blend of spontaneity, and then there is a blend of following so many rules and regulations, referring to rituals, referring to Shastra, what you're supposed to do in case of danger, what you're supposed to do in case of Krishna being hurt. There's all sorts of things that are going on. And yes. It's difficult to filter where is the spontaneity, where is the following of the rules, what's most important for them. Can you explain that, please?
Yes, please. So that's why we have the element of, you know, just for the dilemma itself, is that's the meaning of the founder Acharya. Founder Acharya means that Acharya through which you can understand the explanation of all the other Acharyas. So, because otherwise without that, then you'll see when devotees like in the 90s, you know, started to get more detailed into this, then they would say, oh, well, Vishwanath says this and Baladev says that and Sanatan this and that, you know, so different. And, you know, so which is the real, you know, so that's why you have to see it through the eyes of the founder Acharya. You know, you have the general rule as you approach the previous Acharyas through your Acharya. But then you have the founder Acharya, the Adi Guru. And by his grace, you can understand all the other Acharyas. You have to take what Prabhupada's saying in his purport and then see what is being given by Sanatana Goswami or Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the context of that, how they're explaining details of that. Then it makes sense. Then so that way you can use it on every purport and all that. And you'll see is that at first you'll see what Prabhupada says and it seems very simple, straightforward. Then you read the Acharyas and there's all kinds of complexities. Then when you compare them back, then you see where they fit into what Prabhupada said. And so one, it shows you get the understanding of Prabhupada said all these complexities so simply. You know, so now that simple explanation has so much depth because we don't catch, we just catch the few of the words, but then those same words mean so much. Like we were discussing before in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, that kshema, that security is auspiciousness, means there's no obstacles for performing devotional service. So you get all those technical things when you just say that one word. So in the same way as Prabhupada has these key words that mean all these big explanations behind them. But it can be so simply said, you know. So that's the point, is that we see, because from the jnana point of view, what Prabhupada says, it'll be taken, oh, that's just the simple, basic explanation. And then all these other explanations, okay, now we're getting to the real thing here, you know, real logic and real stuff and all. But it's actually, Prabhupada's just explaining the descending point as close to the origin as is natural, right? While the Acharyas, then they're bringing that, descending that point down to this intellectual platform where without grammar, without logic, without this and that, the point is not appreciated. You know? So that's the whole point, is that Prabhupada's, everybody can appreciate, but you come into a problem if someone's too attached to the jnana platform. They will just take it, the Prabhupada stuff is basic, because they won't want to simplify in that way. Because for them, the more advanced I get in inductive, the more complicated it becomes. While in descending, the higher you get in it, the more simple it becomes. And the more you descend, you know, it comes down, it gets more complicated. So we're used to it the other way around. So if that complicated is natural, and especially you use it because people are conditioned, so that condition, that technical points works a lot of times for many people, it's very useful. And at the same time, one can... There we go. Yeah, it has to switch from the Wi-Fi to the... whatever it is, the, what do you call it? You know, the cellular,
mobile, whatever. Internet.
Yeah, the mobile, yeah. So then, so we're used to the other way. It's more complicated in university. That's why it's higher than high school or higher than grade school. But the essence of the point is there the whole time, right? And so that's the advantage of the descending process, is that descending then can always work. That aspect, that simple, that always works. And then from there, you get into the particular technical details and it enhances things. So therefore you see they nourish each other. By Prabhupada's, you can understand the Acharyas. By the Acharyas, you see finer points in Prabhupada's explanations you didn't see before. At the same time, you appreciate how Prabhupada can say all those technical points so simply. So they just naturally nourish each other. That's if one has that approach, then one can always, you know, get beyond any seeming contradiction and all that. So now here in this is that, now like we saw before, you know, we're in the context of Mother Jashoda and all that. Then, as we said before, is the Vatsalya's affection, thinking that Krishna is one's son or the son of the brother, etc. So that is the you know, how Krishna, he generates that aspect. Then from that, the consequent is the consequent desire to serve Krishna, right? So now, seeing Krishna as the Alambana, then they naturally want to do some service for him as the Ashraya, right? You know, I mean, as the Vishraya, they want to do something for him as the Ashraya. Now, how do you express that? So naturally, then you're going to have this very wonderful, sophisticated, system of activities, and that, and what you do. When this happens, you do this. When that happens, you do that. But these are all natural activities that are there for them. But the point is that these are all documented in Shastra, so that now, as part of the thing, you can say, oh, I'm doing this because of this. When in actuality, that would be naturally what they would do anyway. Right? Otherwise, you don't see that they have any problem there. You know, Trinavarta, then all the elder gopis are getting out their mantras, tantras, and puranadis and that, and doing all these nyasas and everything, and mudras on Krishna. And Prabhupada's saying, before, even the simple cowherd village women knew all this stuff. And nowadays, you have these big pundits, and they'll trip over the words. And, you know, you'll end up saying, tied up in a knot. You'll have to come in and untie them, you know, like that. They can't do these things, you know. So the thing is, before, these things, the Vedic culture comes out of Vrindavan. So, but because of the nature of it, then that Vedic culture is manifest in the Boma Leela, where there you have all the Shastras and all that to do. But that's just a form. So in other words, you need a form. You know, it's just like, let's say you want a particular taste in a preparation. That taste has to be manifest through a form. right? And so to get the taste, you find those forms that are naturally going to manifest that. And so those forms and all that, the manifest, then are documented in the Shastra. And it said, okay, if you want this taste, you combine this, 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 and use this technique. And so, but they're the origin of that. Right? They're the origin of that. But the point is that it has the taste you do like this, just like Krishna and the Cowherd Boys. They want to play as kings and ministers. So now the fun is going to be, okay, he's the king. So king has to sit on this big seat and, you know, he has his crown and he says this and that and says so many things. And the ministers sit there in their chairs and make their points and make all these different things and, you know, discuss. And so following the rules, they're spontaneously following those rules to enhance the rasa with Krishna. So that's why Braj is so hard to understand. That's why those who are on lower levels of realization then see them as just part of their realm. That's why Vaikuntha, the residents of Vaikuntha, they see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan as just an extension, a sweet extension of Vaikuntha. It's still following all the rules and all that, but it doesn't have all the big opulences. It's a simple thing. You know, it'd be like, you know, Louis and his associates going out into the park and dressing up as villagers, you know, and having a picnic and just doing village stuff, you know, like that. So they just see it as an extension of that, though, you know, it is Versailles, you know, I mean, what are you talking about? You know, this is the king, he is the emperor, you know, so it's just some fun for them. So they only catch that. And then as sadhakas, we just catch these rules. Okay, this is what you do and all these things like that and all that. And then, but you know, and it's good. It's an effort. It's you're going in the right direction by trying to following the footsteps. But you have to understand is it's rag anuga. It's not vidhi anuga, right? So that becomes the difficulty is that sometimes we get too into the rules. You know, it's just like, okay, the devotees, they say in the beginning, they're just wearing the chadars and not wearing some sewn cloth. They're doing this and that. And Prabhupada's pleased because they're just trying to do that because that's what they've heard is what you do. And as long as that simple mood is there, it works very nicely. But then as soon as they get into the thing is, oh, this one has a shirt on, so that's bogus and all this and that. And then Prabhupada's just kind of, what are you talking about? He's serving Krishna. Why are you finding fault? You know, so that's the whole point is that the Brajbasis follow these rules, but they don't get caught up in the rules. They don't take it that the rules are what's making the bhakti. It's just a form to express. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you know, because I read in the past time, there's two things that I've noticed. One is the gopis knew exactly what to do because Mother Yashoda was too emotional to deal with Krishna. And the gopis just jumped in and knew exactly what to do, what ritual to perform. And then the second thing I've noticed is every day we place tilak in 12 places on our body. But in the pastime, that's what the Braj gopis do with cow dung on Krishna, 12 places with 12 names of Krishna to protect him. So this is where it's coming from.
That's where it's coming from. And so then it's always worn. It's just something that's done. That's why you see Krishna is wearing tilak. You always see Krishna, he's wearing tilak because Mother Yashoda will make sure he's wearing tilak because then he's protected. Because as she said here, because I and my husband have worshiped Vishnu constantly, so they're going to make sure that they're, and Putta and other demons have been destroyed, so Krishna protected. The two Arjuna trees were uprooted by the wind and Vishnu protected him. So therefore, as Vaishnavas, they're going to make sure that their son is protected by wearing tilak. You know, it's just one of the things that they do. And so then that comes down here as the rule and regulation and things like that. But the point is it's coming from that natural position. So the two go together. It means they're inherent. The four padas? What was that called? Chaturpada. Right? Chaturpada Aishwarya.
Chatushpada.
Chatushpada. Chatushpada. Okay, Chatushpada Aishwarya.
Aishwarya, yes.
The opulence of the four sections of the creation. And so they go together. They're there at once. It's not that one was there and then gradually Krishna had to make the fourth part. They just go together. Because then for Krishna, the material world is the pastimes to bring the living entity back. So at the same time as that can be, and human pastimes are the most tasteful. Right, because it's most dependent upon relationships and that, not on mystic powers and other things like that. So then naturally that the having the scriptures, and the scriptures are just Krishna's breathing, just the, you know, the flapping of Garuda's wings. You got the Samaveda, you know, these are just natural inherent elements. And so then these then, you know, become very prominent here, but they're in the pastimes, they're prominent just like that. They know what to do, they're trained. You know, so the young gopis in the Boma Leela, when they grow up, they're trained by their mothers what to do in all these situations. So now if they grow up and they become in the parental ras, then that's nice there. But if they remain as gopis, then, you know, they'll use it in different ways within the conjugal rasa. You know, so the parents will use it within that. The gopas also know stuff. You know, they hang out with their mother and that. They learn all these things. So it's like making garlands. How do the cowherd boys know how to make garlands? The sakas make garlands for Krishna. They apply the chandan. How do they know how to do that? Because you can't just plop it on. Like I remember seeing one place, it was a village, and it was, I think, meant quite some, it was a village place. So I don't think it was in India. You know, it would have been more in the Middle East or someplace like that. And so then, at a marriage ceremony, then they're going to put on the henna, right? You know, the designs and all that they put on. But these guys didn't know so much about that, but they knew you had to put henna. So they had a ball of henna, and they just put the ball on the back of the hand, nicely positioned in the middle of the back of the hand. So it makes a nice round dot. And for them, that was henna, right? So that's all the farther went, but the principle of it, but you see others, then they have these elaborate designs and everything like that. Just they know more about it. So the those principles and all that are there from that very simple to very sophisticated. And then depending upon where it fits in the pastime, they're used. So for us, this is the fun part, is for us, we can relate more to the Vedic things and all that than let's say the other Pancharatrik sampradayas. So for us, the rag, you know, and the tantric and the Vedic, we can relate to more. Pancharatrik is our standard, you could say, sadhana lifestyle. The lifestyle of a sadhaka is governed by the Pancharatra. So for us, it's the transcendental literature and that. But the Vedic plays a lot more role in our culture than in these others. Like that. So therefore, sometimes you see is that our acharyas, they use these like straight Vedic things. And I've seen devotees who have gone to other sampradayas and learned, you know, technical stuff. They learned Pancharatra. They can't relate to it. They can't understand why this Vedic is used. You know, why you wouldn't use a Pancharatric alternative. You know, because Pancharatra is a kind of. But for the Brajvasis, it's just about Krishna. There is no question of anything else. But you see in the Vedic, it has all these little fine points and all these little things that can add to the flavor. So for us, Vedic is fine as long as it's adding to the flavor of Krishna consciousness. Where it's not, then we'll drop back to the Pancharatrik, and we'll just have the Bhagavat. So that's the whole thing, is the Bhagavat's the main, then you expand these others from it. So we see they're worshiping Vishnu and all that there. But at the same time, they know, as Grihasthas, they know all these Vedic things. So this wide range of the Bhagavat, Pancharatrik, and Vedic, this is just the range of activities, situations and activities and results that you can get in serving Krishna. So therefore, they'll know the most. But since it's not on that, it's just like in Vaikuntha, opulence is the thing, and you hear about opulence. When you hear about Vaikuntha, you hear about the grandeur that's there and the gates and all this and how everyone's dressed and, you know, different things like that. And And it's very, you can see a very majestic place. But in Vrindavan, I'll just mention the trees and this and that and the Jamuna and all that. But we know from that story of in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that discussion, I think, from Swarup Damodar and Srivast Thakur, you know, about the superiority of Vaikuntha or the superiority of Goloka. And so then, in the one, Srivast Thakur is talking about Vaikuntha and all that, and Vrindavan is just some dust and some sticks and, you know, a river and that's it, you know? And so then Swarup Damodar points out as, no, just one grain of that dust, that's the source of all the opulence in Vaikuntha, you know? And all these things is that, no, these are kalpa vriksha trees. The tree can give anything, but the devotees only need a little fruit. The cows can give anything, but they just ask for milk. The same Surabhi in the pastime with Vishishta and Vishwamitra, because Vishwamitra came as the king. And the, no, this was before, was it? Yeah, no, it was him. It was Vishwamitra. This is when he was the emperor. He was a king, then he figured out, then there's someone bigger, and he became the emperor. Then he goes to Vishishta's ashram and happens to see the Surabhi cow and figures out, you know, what is there. But that, he thinks, no, the best should be with the emperor. So he demands to take the cow. And Vishishta is not going to go against it because, you know, it's like he's just a Brahmin. But at the same time, so then Surabhi personally asks him, says, he's taking me and you're not disagreeing. So that means I'm displeased, you don't want my service anymore, or you're just taking the humble position as a Brahmin, he's a king because he's so puffed up, he thinks he's so special. So you're just kind of acquiescing to his ignorance here. And therefore, then you're going along. And he was saying, you know, it's the second, you know, like that. So then her point is, so then you're comfortable with my service. And he says, yes. Yeah. So then if you're not going to make arrangements for me to stay, but if I make arrangements, it's all right. He says, yes. So immediately then she takes this huge form and from her different sides and, you know, her shoulders and her flanks and her tail and this and that come all these armies, you know, Malecha armies, Yavan armies, this one, that. These are the, you know, beginning of all the different armies. And they chased Vishwamitra and his whole army as the emperor, right? So he's traveling with the greatest army. Traced him down to the last man, killing every last single one of them, chased them running for 80 miles like that until all there is Vishwamitra. And he is like totally defeated and exhausted and all that. Then having done that, then Surabhi then just, you know, stays in the ashram, just becomes a cow. So that's the point, is these cows can do anything, but they just give milk. Because that's all that anybody needs to serve Krishna. So that's the point, is that it's so much more opulent, so much more, but because it's all about Krishna, it's all about the rasa, these technical details aren't brought out. So that's why we see is we would get distracted by the technical details very easily. You know, so at the time for the acharyas, these technical points are just standard stuff that everybody does. And so by explaining them, you just think, oh, Mother Jashoda just does stuff like we do. And so it's just a regular, simple, you know, household and how you take care of the kids and do everything. But now in the contemporary age, now, you know, like I said, pundits can't even figure out these nyasas and stuff. So then difficulty comes up is then we would get bewildered and then think that, oh, this is the real thing. When no, it's that Vraja Bhakti. That's the main thing. So we would take it, oh, I'm doing all these rituals, therefore I'm a Brajbasi. No, it's the mood. So that's why Prabhupada just points out, it's the mood. Then he does point out these things to the nyasas, but he doesn't bring it out too often. But he does mention it's standard stuff that everybody should know. But he doesn't emphasize it, because as soon as you emphasize it, people would get into that and forget everything else. Does that make sense? So therefore, the time, place, and circumstance, it was ordinary stuff, you know, 500 years ago. But now it's not. But the essence from what was there and what is now, that you see Prabhupada's giving. And you'll see in the acharyas also mentioned in their purports. But you see the bulk of the purport might be technical things. So that's why you have to approach it from the founder acharya. then it all balances very nicely, and then there's no difficulty. Because the main thing to see there is Mother Yashoda, due to her attachment to Krishna, was so overwhelmed that she couldn't do these things. So the other gopis, because they're assistants to her, then they could see, and so then they stepped in. Right? And then do all those things. So that's the whole point. Is that okay?
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Okay, very good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So in this connection, Jiva Goswami mentions in Bhakti Sandarbha that the real
Yeah, you say?
Yeah, Maharaj, so the real knowledge is to understand the desire of Krishna, and because the devotees, they know Krishna, these devotees in the Raga platform, they know what Krishna wants, they know what Krishna desires. That's why they are much higher than the pandits or anybody who has the Vedic knowledge and knowledge from the Shastras.
Yeah, because they only know it because the Shastras say. Well, they just know this is how Krishna likes things done. But at the same time, as if we just say, oh, they just know, but how do they know? And they just, oh, I have a feeling and all that. Then that doesn't work out very nicely either. So therefore, we know from the pastimes of the Boma Leela that, everybody's, you have the guru, you study the Shastras, you do all these things, you train like this, and that's how, just people live and all that. That's the proper thing. That's how Vishnu wants you to live. So therefore, we see as Krishna is the Lord of the Icha Shakti. Balaram's the Lord of the Kriya Shakti. So how things get done, we see is like that. So Paramatma, how he controls and everything like that. But the basis of knowledge, jnana, that is Vasudev. And so that therefore, you're going to see is that Mahanarayan, those things like that. So the Vedic thing comes in more strongly there. And so that's then what you'll see at that point. And so he is then Vasudeva serving Balaram, who's serving Krishna. So then naturally that knowledge comes in that way. So in Goloka, whenever they refer to these things, they'll refer to these things as they are in Boma Leela. Because for them, the two places are the same. But it's done over there. You don't have to, it doesn't need to be done here. You've learned it there. You just apply it here. So they don't see that there's difference. It's one place. So in other words, the prakat and apricot for them are the same place. And so in the prakat, that's where you see all these things technically have to be followed, because that's the rules. But the point is these are the rules to please Krishna. So they're worshiping Vishnu to please Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
So the two nourish each other. But the point is it's Braja that is the origin. That is the main place. That's the main element. Yeah? So that's the difficulties, because we like to look at these things in time and space so much that we have a difficulty with that. Well, the point is for the Braj Basis, where's the time and space in this? So the point is the culture is established. And so they're following the culture to please Krishna. So that's the, we're being asked to do exactly the same thing. You have the culture, wherever you fit in the culture, then you use that position to serve Krishna, like Arjuna. He's a Kshatriya, so use it to serve Krishna, right? Either you do it as a Kshatriya and follow your duty, or you fight because it pleases me. But the point is that in either case, he's going to do Kshatriya stuff. It's not going to be something different. That's why it's a misnomer, is that as soon as I go into, it's just about pleasing Krishna so I can do whatever I like. No, Krishna wants you to do what's according to your nature, what's according to your position. Because that's what he does. When he's a cowherd boy, he takes out the cows. When he's Kshatriya, then he goes to battle. When he's a Brahmin, then he studies the scriptures and teaches. You know, so that's what Krishna does, his associates do. So all these same associates, you know, that are, let's say, you know, residents of Vrindavan, you know, so they're cowherd people. Then in Dwarka, then they're all Kshatriyas. And in and Navadvip, they're all Brahmins. So that's the whole point. They follow that. So this misnomer here that, oh, we don't have to follow, it's because we don't want to follow. We want to be the controller and enjoyer. That's the bottom line. It's not that, oh, no, you know, we're not attached to the rules. It's that, yeah, they're not attached to anything that's not theirs, because you find the same person is so strict about a rule that's of value to them. Really strict. I mean, just like, will not give it up. You know, like a, you know, a badger on your ankle. Just, they're not going to let go. But anything else that's not of value to them, oh, we just chant and this and that. You know, so that's the thing. It comes down to this. So that becomes the difficulty. That's why we just follow what the acharyas say. They say do this, we do that. They say be visit vegetarian, we're vegetarian. You know, if being vegan was important, they would have said vegan. You know, because being vegetarian, because if I want to be a vegetarian, I'm worried about the cows, then what should I do? I should get absorbed in the cows. But I'm not absorbed in the cows, right? I'm absorbed in my, I'm absorbed in my city lifestyle, you know, and all that. And it's cool and it's chic and it's, you know, happening to be vegan. But in actuality, I couldn't give a damn about cows because I'm not about to do one thing for cows. I'm not giving any money to cows. I'm not supporting any goshala. I'm not putting any time in all this. So that's the whole thing, is that we are attached to doing our own thing. So we just do what the acharyas, they said be vegetarian. We're vegetarian, we're not vegans. We're not, you know, these Western, what is it, you know, ovo-vegetarians, where they eat, they're vegetarian, but they eat eggs, or, you know, we don't eat onions and garlic because we're pure vegetarian. So that's what they've given, that's what we do. Prabhupada said, if, you know, we're Krishnatarian, what Krishna eats, that's what we eat, you know? So that's the whole point. If Krishna ate bicycles, we'd eat bicycles. But Krishna doesn't. He's vegetarian. So we eat that. So that's what we do. We follow the acharyas. They say, follow these rituals, you know, worship Krishna in the 16 items, and then in temple worship, use the 64. That's what we do. We don't go, oh, that's all rules and regulations and this and that, and we're above that. You know, no. We just do what they do. So they set the example, they set the standard, and we follow that. That's the point. We're simple. Vrajbasis is simple. We just do what the acharya said. So you want to fit in. Where do you want to fit in? You want to fit in with the Vrajbasis or with all those idiots on the internet? Your choice. And it's all a matter of mood. So you like the Vrajbasis? Do what they do. They're not trying to fit into the material consciousness, you know? And at the same time, is if there is something of value in the material world, it came from Krishna anyway. That's the second shloka, the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. If it's of value, if you don't see it in relation to him, then you're an illusion. So yes, okay, well, you know, we dress funny, but dressing funny is not what you're wearing, it's how you wear it, you know? There's plenty of karmis who wear karmi clothes and they dress funny. But it said, no, devotee clothes are funny. No, what do you mean? I mean, so many of these big guys and celebrities, they all wear now these, you know, these little, you know, shawls, you know, the Indian shawls around their neck. The guys do at least all the time. Or where did that come from? Now it's cool to wear. Now you see everybody wearing, all the young guys, you know, they wear one of those, looking cool. Like that. But the point is, it's like, but you know, 10 years ago, they weren't wearing it. So if you wore that, oh, he's fanatic. But now it's, oh, no, we're being cool, you know. So it's, I mean, since when are the karmis a standard? So the principle is that you look nice, you dress nice. Whatever you're wearing, wear it properly. It should be clean, properly, you know, worn and all that. And whatever standard it is, then that's how you do it. But to say that, no, you have to wear what they're wearing. You're never wearing what they're wearing. Are you going to spend $5,000 to wear what they're wearing? No. So then, you know, get over it. So the point is you just, that Vrajabhasis, it's the essence. It's the main thing. It's just pleasing Krishna. And then it comes down as they do. And so therefore we fit in how much you can, because you can never fully fit in. Even if you're in the same family, they don't fit in, right? People from the same nation hate each other. There's civil wars. Then even within a particular area, okay, in one or the north or the south, if you're in one area, then they have groups. Then like that, it gets down to its families, you know, big dynasties. But then within the dynasties, it has, then they're warring between the, you know, the brothers and the cousins and that. You get into one nuclear family, they don't like each other either. And then the fun part, this is the kicker now, is that when you get up in the morning and go look in the mirror, you don't like yourself either. So it's 100% bogus we got to fit in. We fit in with the Brajbasis. And if you want to go there, that's how you think. And you want to stay here, hey, fit in with whoever the hell you want. But you want to go back to Godhead, you follow like Mother Jashoda here. She just wants to please Krishna, that's all. So everything, her worship of Vishnu, her household duties, you know, whatever she thinks about, that's just to please Krishna. And so that's what we're being given. You can follow Varnashram and do that all here to please Krishna. Oh no, well, I don't know if we're supposed to do Varnashram. Mother just showed us following Varnashram. You know, that's the whole thing. He's big enough now, he's supposed to take out the calves. Why? Because they're Vaishyas. They herd cows. You know? So that's the whole thing. And why cows? Because they're top class Vaishyas. Because then second grade Vaishyas herd buffaloes. Third grade Vaishyas herd goats. You know, and if you can't do that, then you have the Vaishya mentality in nature, but you can't make money off of that. So you assist others who can. I don't know what they're called otherwise, but in India, you call them gophers. They go for this, go for that. Because they're really good. They know how to make profit and make decisions on the spot, how to get things and get things done. But they're doing someone else's work. So it's still a Vaishya mentality. But they're doing it with someone else, you know, like that. So the point is those are there, and you see, and Krishna's in the top class, they take out cows. They have some buffalo and goats, but it's just some. That's not predominant. So these levels are there. The gopis can do this, right? You know, if, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Then why is it it's a big deal the gopis go out dancing with Krishna? You know, and, oh, well, no, we're not caring for this. Everyone does whatever they want. So then what would the parents care? You know, they come back in the morning at 6 a.m. And then, you know, mother's just, you know, getting up and, you know, doing the morning things like that. And when the girl walks in, all bedraggled. Oh, been out with Krishna again all night, huh? Yeah, was it a good one? Nice. Oh, yeah, fabulous. And then she goes to bed, right? You know, then what would be the problem? But it's not like that. So therefore, that's the whole thing, is that we're given the opportunity to do what the Brajbasis do. You know, just like the Vaikuntha Walas, the Shris, they're given the opportunity to do what they do in Vaikuntha. That pancharatric system and all that, and everything they do, and the opulence, and the festivals, they're given that opportunity. We're given the opportunity to do what they do in Braj. That's sadhana. We're practicing it. They're doing it naturally. They're ragatmika. You know, and that rag that they have, we're just following that. So we're raganuga. But, you know, much of the time, we're just the sadhana. That's the aspect that connects it. So then we try. And so then we see here is that, you know, that's the specialness, is that they just see it in that context. Of whatever it is, they just identify it and see it in the context of Krishna. They don't see it some other way. So whatever it is, they just try to see how it pleases Krishna. That's all. Yeah? Good? No? Good, bad, not so good.
Good, Maharaj.
Okay. Not too grumpy. No.
Good.
Okay. So we'll end here for today. And then we'll continue in the evening. Chaitanya Charitamrita, 4 to 5:30. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.